Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, we got a really interesting email to lunchtime live at newstalk.com. Take a listen.
Hi there. I'm writing to you today to ask you and your listeners what their experiences as it relates to watching GAA Faila Week. As you probably know, it was Hurling Faila Week this week. And I have to say that I was completely shocked. I was disgusted by some parents and coaching behaviours. My 15-year-old son was on the hurling team and playing away this week, and the opposition coaches could be heard shouting to their team to, quote, take him out, at which point one of the kids did a hatchet job on one of our players, leaving him basically wailing on the ground. So shockingly, the ref let play go on, but I might add that in the first half, the ref quite rightly stopped play in the first half when one of their players was injured. Coaches were also shouting profanities to our team. Lest I remind you, these are 15-year-old boys and grown men telling them to F off and to F themselves, and with parents joining in, basically. So yeah, I was disgusted, and I wonder if this is commonly seen across the country in what should be a great experience for kids. And my son was very upset after it all, and I can't blame him. What do your listeners think? I personally feel GAA need to take a serious look at this. I think it's unacceptable.
Now you can see why we're interested in chatting about this email today. Like, you know, if there's language like take him out and you're leaving a 15-year-old teenager wailing on the sidelines, I mean, sure, it's just wildly unacceptable. Paddy is on the line. Paddy, you're a former coach and a referee. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah. I've seen scenes that chap emailed in about kind of on a regular basis. I would say more so I was Gaelic football coach for 17 years in a very competitive sector. I mean, even though I have a Dublin accent, I was down in Kerry and we played at the highest level. And you would see at certain clubs were kind of worse than others or certain coaches. It just took one kind of lunatic on the line to ignite everything, you know. A lot of clubs kind of, you know, would say, oh, we can't get coaches. So they were kind of having to have fellas that are people that weren't really shouldn't have been next to the team, but the kind of thing was, oh well, we can't get people, so that would be always a huge excuse. But my
sort
my
of tolerated
was,
nearly
yeah but my thing was, well, I'd rather have no person than that person, yes, because yeah, it has a huge effect on the kids.
And you know, who's doing it? Is it the parents, Paddy? Sorry, like, is it mom and dad that's on the sidelines?
Everyone. And if it's acceptable, like, I've seen parents fighting with opposition parents, you know, like I've seen, like, as that chap said, that was a child under 15 with the Faila. I've experienced Faila. We had a great time in Faila, but our ethos to where kids was, and they were playing like top standard Division 1 Kerry, and our ethos was, if you don't agree with something, we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's something going on the pitch, we'll deal with it. And we would say to parents, look, don't get involved, let us deal with it, that's our job. And for the most part, that would calm it down. The kids then would be able to get on with the football. And generally, we would win more than we'd lose, you know, because they were allowed to play at that stage. If there was an issue and the referee wasn't addressing it, you know, we would explain our point. And if it got so bad, which, you know, it can do, we would say, well, look, we're not continuing because, you know, you've no control over the game. Now, that's a very hard thing for a referee to try control maybe several hundred people, especially with Faila. I mean, Faila attracts huge crowds, and it's a brilliant thing. Like, it's a brilliant thing. I wouldn't be knocking the GAA, I wouldn't be knocking, you know, the competition, but people need to get a grip on the behaviour.
But, like, if you've grown, this listener talks about in the case that, you know, that they witnessed grown men telling 15-year-old teenagers to F off and F themselves. And, I mean, like, if you've this level of profanities along the sideline, surely the GAA need to do something.
Oh, they shouldn't be there. Like, we had a code of conduct for our club, and we'd make the parents sign it, the kids would sign it, the coaches, managers, everyone involved would sign it. And if they breached it, they would be referred then, the parents as well, like they would be referred then to the executive committee. Executive committee then would have to address it, and the parents might be told, you know, you're better off, stay away from the game. Mm. Now, the parent again, they could be the parents of the star on the team, and are you risking the star leaving? And I would say, let the star go if the parents are like that, because you will have trouble for the remainder of that time that person is involved with the club.
Well, funny you say that. Mel in Wexford has got in touch, Paddy, here this afternoon to say, with regards to the fail of competitions, apparently that's the same in every corner of the country, according to Mel. What about you, Lucy? Stay with us, Paddy, for a moment. 1800 453 106 is the number. What have you witnessed on the sidelines, Lucy?
Well, I've been coaching my youngest team with a clatter of other coaches, and by far the lead coach, but for years, and the club I'm with, that they are really, really strict on that. Like, if a parent starts mouthing off at the sideline, the head coach will go straight over to the parent and tell them to button it. There's a zero tolerance with our club for any parent behaving like that. I've absolutely seen it. I've seen it at under 11s matches where parents are on an opposite team. We're getting quite excitable to the point that they actually got banned from the same event the following year. The whole club got banned.
These are the parents of 10-year-olds.
They weren't allowed to come back. And these are the parents of 10-year-olds. Yeah. And you see, that's what they need to do. I understand that they have how passionate people are about GAA. I have an absolutely GAA mad child. And I get it. However, you have to remember these are kids playing. There is no excuse for that kind of behaviour. None. And if the parents behave like that, the club should be fined, and they shouldn't be allowed to play at the fail of the following year, even if they qualify. And pretty quickly, that would have the clubs that are lighter on this. I'm not saying it's the club's fault. I'm not accusing any club of being at fault, but it would mean they would get tighter, because I know in the club I'm in, if anybody behaves that way, they're out. They're not allowed even on the sidelines. Yeah. And that's the way it should be in every sport that anybody's involved in. I don't care if they're even adults. Like, you've got to have respect. This is about respect. It's a pretty sad day when people have to be banned because they cannot control their own emotional regulation.
Would that work, Polly? Would that work?
Yeah, but that is the way to go. Look at the rugby. You know, they don't, like, they're not as lunatics there. Like, especially in the contact, I see it in boxing and rugby in the whole, right? You've generally had bigger people, or the consequences of something going wrong are huge. So the thing is, they have these protocols or code of practices put in place because the consequences can be so serious. And again, it works. Like, it works more than it doesn't work. So that is easily replicated into other sports. And what I would say there is, a lot of the times people say, well, the ref took no action. And I would agree. But the refs can be under such pressure and the intimidation can be something else. I ref for over 10 years as well. And I would encourage, there's a short film on YouTube. It's only about 8 minutes long. It's called Two Halves. I wrote and directed it. It's based on experience I've seen. And I would tell everyone they should watch it. Parents, children, the whole lot. Watch it. And it just shows the ramifications for everyone involved by parents on the sideline.
Where can people get that, Paddy?
Two halves. It's on YouTube. So you type in two halves. It's like life or a game is like two halves.
Yeah, worth flagging it for listeners. It's funny you mentioned that, you know, about the intimidation that refs face. Listener here says, I'm based in Tipperary. I've seen under 12 matches where, for example, the B team players are sitting on the bench, and while the A team players are illegally dropped down a grade just to make sure the team wins, I've noticed umpires blatantly making incorrect calls to benefit their own team. These are just the tip of the iceberg. It's win at all cost, and that pressure and attitude develops into pure aggression on the sidelines, which often boils over. And I repeat, this is under 12s. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. What about you, Lisa? Your sons play team sports. What have you witnessed?
Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
So, how are you? Listen, we've been in the thick of fail this week. I have four sons from 10 to 14. So we had, my two older boys were playing Fela football last week and Fela hurling this week. I am absolutely, I'm a Kerry woman. I am born and reared on GAA. It's like another religion to us. I live in County Meath, and I am shocked like at these things. Like I go at hearing this, because I don't know, do we live in a bubble, or I just don't, I have never.
Our the parents are just better behaved than Meath, are they?
And coming from Kerry too. Yeah, but you know, I just don't, like, I can't imagine it. So I am going to bring my boys since they're under six. They are now under, they're playing under 15, under 16. There's a group of us parents there who are the most excitable pair, a bunch of parents. But nothing ever, I have never heard one of them, I've never been in the presence either of an, and I'm not the student this goes on. Of course it goes on. I hear about it all the time. I can't imagine hearing it. If someone said to take out my child, I'm telling you, if you buyers judge.
But like the parents across. Would want to get a grip. Do you know what I mean? Yes, like if you're roaring at a 14-year-old to take another child out.
I can't imagine it. I'm just imagining. I'm thinking back of Fela this week. We played, teams here in County Meath. And I would never hear anything bar encouragement. Like, go on, you know, or good man or whatever. I couldn't imagine even another team, you know, turn around. They were the exact same. They were jumping up and down. They were so excited for theirs. But there was no such thing as atmosphere. And now I'm going to GAA games a long time. My father played and everything. I've heard it all. I've heard it in senior, you know, you nearly expect it in senior. I just can't imagine. And my husband is actually, I'll put it out there, my husband's actually a trainer of the boys as well. I couldn't imagine him telling, any of the lads, take him out or whatever. Now, they will say things, you know, appropriate to, like, you know, come back on him, mark up on him, you know, this kind of pull tighter, all this kind of stuff in that language. There's ways to get the point across. Watch that, you know, the good lad or whatever. There's ways about it without taking them out. Is that not breeding, really, that we're talking about here, rather than the way? Because I don't want the whole, because my boys play soccer as well. It's not just a GAA problem. It's certain people in all sports, that behave like that.
Yeah, like, I know these are the stories of it. I'm sure it goes on in other sports as well. And the listeners will tell us. It's 087 1400 106. But it's also, like, as Lisa said, Lucy, it's the message that it sends then to the young players. You know, like if your mum and dad are roaring like this at the sideline, sure, what message do you send to the kids?
Well, you have to look at it from a psychological point of view. Children are sponges. So if you have, let's say you have your 13-year-old or 14-year-old playing in Fela, and he has younger siblings who are beside the pitch, and they're maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, and they're watching the adults behave like this. What do you think the result's going to be? Like, they're going to grow up thinking, right, well, my mum or dad, it's gender, it could be both. And, you know, they're watching this, their parents behave this way. The 14-year-old is watching the parents behave this way. Right, I've got permission to behave the way my parents are behaving. Now, the minute you have that child in your arms, your responsibility is to give them the best chance in life, the best that you can do. That is not the best that any parent can do. These kids are fundamentally good, and they want to encourage each other. You see it all the time
they
when
learn
they,
from the
particularly
folks.
In things like rugby, where they may play, or even if they're playing, like we've a lot of the lads who play on school teams for hurling. Like my son has won this afternoon, and they play against lads who are on their club team, but on different school, and you see the respect that's given. There's none of that. Okay. And they learn from the parents.
Listener here says, I coached it at mini rugby level and currently coach at youth rugby level. And the difference between the sidelines at the sport and, say, for example, football or GAA, it's massively different with regards to quiet sidelines. Antonio Montero was with me on the line today. I mean, sure, this is the very reason you created the silent sideline, Antonio.
Yeah, I think I'm talking to the show anyway for about 15 years now about this. So
yeah.
I mean, I actually think at this stage that it should be a government intervention now, and the government should actually be putting adverts on radio and on television to inform parents and also inform children. I mean, as that lady said there, children actually are growing up now with this as the norm. So they think that this is this totally normal to their game. So sometimes when you go and ask children, you know, about the noise, about the abuse, about all the all the verbals from the sideline, does it affect them? And most kids will say probably not, because they think they think that's part of the game, because that's how most children are now growing up, on the sidelines or in games, you know. And look, you have to remember that, you know, children make so many conscious decisions per second in a game. Mm. You know, when you're constantly shouting at them, you know, feeding them information, you know, it's going to be impossible for them to make a quick decision and for them to make the right decision.
So you,
you know?
Want the government if the government had enough to do without having to take out adverts and radio or television to tell parents to shut up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has to be done. If it's not the government, then, you know, the FAI, I know the English FA years ago used to have a campaign out, and they had, I can't remember the actor that was doing it, and they had a couple of little clips about the sideline, and they were publishing that through everything, and it was certainly seen all over YouTube and that. But I think at this stage that, you know, it would be no harm in putting out an advert or doing some sort of campaign, because I mean, when you think of the amount of children that play sport in this country, you know, virtually every one in two children in this country play sport. If you look at the fallout, I think from the age of 13, there's over 70% of children will leave sport at the age
Maybe
of 13.
Maybe this is
and why. 50% of them are girls. So, that's a massive amount of children leaving the game. And I think, look, we every year, every couple of months, you know, We're having this discussion, and nothing seems
to be
going.
So maybe it might help. Okay.
I mean,
let me bring in Jeanette is with us on the line as well, Antonio. Jeanette, you've been listening this afternoon. What's your experience?
Mixed experience, I should say, because our local GAA has been really, really, really good for our son. But to bring another level into it, I suppose, is our son is African, and we have had so many incidents. Now, he's older now, he's 15 now, but at the time he was about 11. We've had so many incidents, N-word being shouted by kids. We've had, you know, comments from coaches. We've had, you know, ape noises. Now, my kid is incredibly resilient. He really is. And all he does, in fairness, is just play harder. So it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's totally wrong. But for him, he's secure enough in himself. But what it also does is, and particularly for girls, it'll keep them out of playing. Now, you know, one of the many skills GAA does is bringing the whole community together. But it hasn't really got this right to an extent, because it happened too many times. Now, it happens in life as well, and you do have to have a bit of a thick skin. But it is something that should stop. I mean, we've had reps who have been brilliant and who have immediately, you know, marched the other kid off. And we've had reps who've said, it is what it is.
So just to be clear, Jeanette, so your son, and how many years ago was this?
So he's 15 now, so probably, 4 or 5 years ago.
And he's playing as part of, what sport is it? GAA or soccer? Or?
GAA. Oh yeah,
right.
GAA.
And he's out in the pitch and there's the N-word has been used.
Bandied about.
By parents or who? Or who's?
It's certainly by kids. But they're not doing that themselves. They're learning that at home. And unfortunately, it's slipped into people's vocabulary. But we have had coaches calling him, well, one particular one, I shouldn't say plural, calling him a monkey and making gorilla sounds.
So the coach, now, the coaches at this? At the
oh,
match.
The coach of the other team, of the other team. Oh, yeah. And that was the incident where the ref said, oh, look, just play on. And it's awful. Now, I think I said in the text as well, he's a basketballer, and you don't get that in basketball. You just don't get, you know, he loves it. He loves the GAA. He's an all-round good sportsman. He loves sports. But it's certainly when he decided to make a choice, because you have to at some stage make a choice between the, you know, what they're going to do, he went for basketball. And
do you think that forms part of it?
Well, no, because he's so passionate about basketball.
Right, okay.
But for me, I was pleased, because I thought, you know what, there's only so much of that you can take. There is only so much education you can give to people and say, stop doing this. Just stop doing it. But it is another layer. He is incredibly resilient. A lot of kids who aren't. And
even still, if the opposition team leader in front of these other, said, if it was 5 years ago, you know, under 10 or, 11-year-old boys, and your coach, like, is acting like this at the sideline. Sure, what hope have the players?
You know, they don't, and I should say it's obviously not all of them, but
I know.
The amount of N-words being thrown around.
But you must have been very upset about that, I'm sure, when he came home and told you.
Yeah, extremely. And my husband would always be at the matches now. He wouldn't be exactly quiet himself, but yeah, he now our club were good about it. But it's so aggravating because it's so casual, and you get people saying, well, if he's red haired, they'd say, oh, well, it's, you know, you'd be calling him something to do with the red hair. It's like, nah, it's completely different. And it's much worse than that. And all it's going to do is just say to people, you're not included. Mm. You're not welcome.
Just the message it sends. And I mean, even like, you know, the inner feelings of a child listening to that, and particularly like, God, you know, it's brutal that, you know, other kids in the team would do it. But geez, if the coach is at it, you know, I mean, and if the referee's response to that is to usher play on, what about it? I mean, like, it's a terrible, terrible message. And I'm sorry to hear that. And thanks for getting in touch, and thanks for sharing that experience with us today on the programme. And, you know, it's like, the sad reality here is that that's not the only story like that. There's plenty more. Another listener says, the GAA and the FAI, they make enough money. They should combine to do a campaign on radio and TV and social media. Antonio Montero is right about this. Never mind the government, these bodies themselves have enough money and they should address this problem, says Mal. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Keep your experiences coming into us. What have you witnessed with regards to, you know, verbal abuse at the sidelines of underage matches, and talking in particular about the Fela over the past couple of days?
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.